So I know, so John asked me to preach, of course, because he can't be here. You know, it's definitely unfortunate with what's happening with, you know, Tiffany and her family. But I know John was doing a series on heaven, on the kingdom of heaven. And I know he mentioned one of his points was talking about just devotion, just how God is devoted to us. But I kind of want to talk about how we could be devoted to God. And but the title of my message is Pure in Heart. And we're going to talk about what it means to have a pure heart this morning. And I want to use Joseph as an example, because I really believe he was a man who had a pure heart. Before we jump into the scripture, I want to read a song. We actually sang it for communion. It's called Pure in Heart. And I feel like it's so fitting for what we're going to talk about today. I'll read the song right now. In verse 1 it says, purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to thee. Watch thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. Verse 2, purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do thy will most lovingly. Be thou my friend and guide. Let me with thee abide. Purer in heart, help me to be. Verse 3. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Until thy holy face one day I see. Keep me from secret sin. Reign thou my soul within. Purer in heart, help me to be. Amen. So in verse 1 of the song, it says, may I devote my life wholly to thee. You know, point one of my message is, in order to have a pure heart, we need to be devoted to God. In order to have a pure heart, we need to be devoted to God. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 39. You know, we're going to talk about Joseph this morning. And, you know, at this time, Joseph, he's working for Potiphar. And we want to see, like, what type of challenges he's going to face this morning. In Genesis chapter 39, starting verse 6. It reads, so he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. Woo! And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. And we'll stop there for now. Was Joseph a devoted man to God? You know, what is some evidence in the scripture that proves this? You know, it says the Lord was with Joseph. You know, verse 9, he says to Potiphar's wife, how can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? You know, he was not willing to give in to that temptation. And then, you know, he ended up doing, he ran away. You know, brothers and sisters, what sins do we need to run away from this morning? What do we need to get away from? What do we need to flee? What's in our hearts? What's troubling us right now? What do we need to get rid of? You know, I feel like Joseph was willing to do anything he can to get away from the temptation that he was facing. And man, Potiphar's wife, she was resilient. She was after him. She even tried, she grabbed his cloak, probably almost ripped it. But Joseph was a devoted man. You know, I looked up the word devoted, and it means zealous or ardent in attachment, loyalty, or affection. You know, are we zealous? Are we zealous about God? You know, how are our quiet times going? You know, are we excited when we open the Bible every day? You know, are we allowing God to impact our lives? You know, are we praying each and every day? You know, when times get hard, are we doing that? I want to share about one couple who I just see great devotion in. I want to talk about the Howes for a second. I know Renee's, you should have seen her face when I just said that. But one of the things that inspired me about the Howes is just how devoted they are to the song ministry. You know, every rehearsal, every Sunday, they're there before everybody else. You know, every rehearsal we have outside of Sunday, they're always there. They're always replying to my emails when I send out the song service. You know, whether they'll be there, whether, you know, for some reason they can't. And, you know, it's inspiring to just see, like, you know what, we're serving in the song ministry and we're committed to this. We're devoted to it. We're going to put our all into it. You know, it's even to the point in our rehearsals, like, I see Tony, he has his list, he writes it down. And, you know, they make sure they have their list right there. They make sure they know what songs they're singing. And it's inspiring. You know, they pay attention to the details as well, of just when they have to sit down, when they have to come up. And it's encouraging. And I kind of think about just our devotion to God. Like, do I pay attention to the little things? Do I pay attention to what's going on in my heart? You know, do I pay attention to my feelings, you know? And just wondering, like, am I giving my all to God? Let's continue on to point number two. Point number two, in order to have a pure heart, we need to serve one another. You know, in verse 2 of the song, Pure in Heart, it says, teach me to do thy will most lovingly. Let's continue on in the story in Genesis 39. We're going to continue on, starting in verse 13. It says, when she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me and made sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So here you see that, you know, Joseph got put into prison. You know, he's wrongfully accused. And I was thinking to myself, like, man, if I was in that situation, I feel like I would have Judge Joey Zayas on speed dial. Yeah. Like, Joey, I was wrongfully accused. You know, help me out. You know, bail me out. I don't know, maybe I would even ask Sandra Stein to come and, you know, and be my lawyer. I don't know. But, you know, Joseph, he didn't complain. You know, but when he was still in prison, instead of whining, instead of arguing, instead of trying to plead his innocence, he served. You know, he was put in charge of everyone in the prison. You know, and I can't even imagine just doing that. You know, and just the heart that he would have to do that, the love he would have. You know, I feel like most of us would be bitter and be like, why am I in here for? Like, God, like, I like ran away from that temptation and you still put me in prison? I'm not going to help out. Are you serious? But that's not what Joseph's attitude was. He was like, you know what? I'm going to still serve. I'm going to still, you know, whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do it. And it just, that takes an amazing heart. You know, do we serve one another? Or are we just wanting to have people serve us? You know, what talents do you have? What can you contribute here to the Long Island ministry? You know, when was the last time you taught in the children's ministry? You know, I feel like a big problem here in Long Island is every time the semester changes over, we're always looking for teachers. There's always not enough teachers. And sometimes my heart is like, oh, man, I guess I have to give away some of my fingers to teach. And, you know, and it's a struggle. You know, sometimes what is your talent? It's your talent to sing. You know, sometimes I'm on Facebook or I see videos of people singing and they're not up here. I'm like, why do I see videos of people singing and they're not singing for God here? You know, I'm not going to mention any names. But are we using our talents for God? Are we serving lovingly? You know, I appreciate Lori. You know, even just this morning, she's driving around putting the signs up, you know, to direct us here. And it's windy outside. The signs are blowing. But she's always serving. And I appreciate that. You know, imagine if all of us just do our part. If all of us just give a little, just serve a little, how great this place will be and how much of an impact we can make. You know, husbands, do you serve your wives? Wives, do you serve your husbands? Greg, do you serve your girlfriend? Wait a minute, that's not in my notes. But brothers, single brothers, do you serve the single sisters? Campus brothers, do you do the same? Likewise, sisters, do you serve your brothers? Do you encourage them? You know, we need to make sure that we're always serving. I think it's good for our hearts. You know, I think about a little over 4 years ago. You know, my brother passed away, as a lot of you guys know, and it was definitely a tragic death. You know, he was gunned down, and it was a hard time. But I think the one thing that I kind of just helped me like get through everything. It's serving my family, is to make sure they're okay. You know, sometimes I felt like I had to dig everything inside of me to be that encouragement to my family and just to be there. And you know, the one thing that was encouraging is that like my family, they saw just how I was responding to everything. And my uncles, they came up to me and they were like, "Wow, you know, I just observed just how you are and how you're handling the whole thing and just how you like serve your mom and your brother and your sister." And, you know, and that encouraged me a lot. And so I definitely felt like just by me serving, it allowed me just to really focus on what's important is God, you know, and not feel down. And of course I was down. Of course it was hard, but I think because God has allowed me to serve my family and to do those things, it helped me to grow closer to God, connect with God through this hard time. You know, are we selfless? When things are rough, are we still going to serve? Or are we just going to think about ourselves and be selfish? I know it's hard. I know we just want to think about ourselves. I know we just want to, you know, not deal with anything because it's easier. It's easier just to hang out, enjoy the service, you know, clap a little while we sing. It's easy to do that. But the challenge is, like, are we going to really take ownership of our ministry here and just really see the needs, you know, and just there's so many different ways we can serve. You know, if it's not serving within the service, either passing the plate or teaching or singing, you know, there's a lot of service opportunities with hope as well that we can do. But God calls us to that because, you know, we're so fortunate, guys. We're fortunate to live in Long Island. We're fortunate to have homes. We're fortunate to be able to have a place to worship God freely. We are so fortunate. So let's think about ways we can give back as well. Point number three. In order to have a pure heart, we need to wait on the Lord. You know, verse 3 of the song, it says, pure in heart, O God, help me to be, until thy holy face one day I see. You know, we're going to continue on the story of Joseph, you know, in Genesis chapter 40. So what's happening here is that the cupbearer and the baker got thrown into prison as well. And we're going to pick up on that story and just when Joseph interacts with the cupbearer. So let's turn over to Genesis chapter 40, starting in verse 8. Genesis 40, verse 8 says, we both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, in my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. Let's skip down to verse 20. Verse 20 says, now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Womp, womp. You know, in the story it says that, you know, Joseph interpreted the cupbearer's dream. And he's like, you know, Joseph was a little slick. He's like, all right, I interpret your dream. But, you know, make sure you tell Pharaoh to, you know, to release me, you know. And you know, don't forget about me. And what did the cupbearer do? He forgot about him. He's like, hey, I'm free. Like, who's this Joseph guy? Whatever, you know. But what's crazy is that if we even look into the next chapter, it's in verse 40, in chapter 41, it says, when 2 full years passed, you know, the Pharaoh had a dream. So it took another 2 years for Joseph just to even, like, get out of prison and interpret Pharaoh's dream and for him to just be restored. And I'm like, wow. Like, after all of that, Joseph had to wait another 2 years just to be released. And, you know, I kind of think about just my patience, you know, like, how patient am I? Like, do I believe that God is still with me? Do I believe that God's plan is perfect? You know, do we believe that God will show his face to us, brothers and sisters? You know, are we impatient? Are we anxious? Singles, are we waiting to see God's face? Are we wondering, where's my boyfriend? Where's my girlfriend? When am I going to get married? Are we being anxious about that? You know, parents, are you anxious about your kids becoming disciples? You know, I've worked with the teens for years. And, you know, over the years, I love talking to the parents. And I think the big thing that the parents are always telling me is just wanting to see their kids become disciples and wanting their kids to have a relationship with God. And, you know, sometimes they're nervous and you know, rightfully so, you know, and I know they want the best for their kids. But, you know, we have to remember, you know, God's face is there. Like, are we willing to wait? Do we trust in God? Or are we going to be impatient and try to take matters into our own hands? You know, God's plan, He has a plan to prosper us, not to harm us. He has a plan to give us a hope in the future. You know, do we believe that? You know, and it's great to just see that, you know, Joseph waited those 2 years and he was restored. This whole time it keeps saying that, you know, but God was with Joseph. God never left him. Brothers and sisters, God did not leave you. He's with you right now. He wants the best for you. And it's not going to be easy, but it will build our character. Amen. I'm going to close out. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I feel like this scripture is great and will help us to really think about how we can have a pure heart. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." You know, since we are God's chosen people, let's be pure in heart. From now till the end of the year, I want to challenge you to keep fighting. Let's keep working out just any bitterness in our hearts, any anger, any sadness in our hearts. Let's fight that. Let's remember to serve. Let's remember to be devoted to God. Let's remember to be patient and trust in God's plan. You know, let's clothe ourselves with compassion. You know, Joseph was a compassionate man. You know, despite the cupbearer forgetting who he was, despite him being thrown to prison for something he didn't do, he still had compassion. Let's clothe ourselves with kindness. You know, despite, you know, Potiphar's wife just, you know, being forceful with him, the way he spoke to Potiphar's wife was still very respectful and kind of trying to bring her back to God. Just saying, how can I do such a wicked thing and sin against my God? Let's clothe ourselves with humility. You know, when Joseph got thrown into prison, he didn't say, "Get me out of here. I was innocent. I didn't do this. I wasn't trying to take advances at Potiphar's wife." But no, he remained humble in prison, and he served all the other inmates. Let's clothe ourselves with gentleness. You know, Joseph was willing to interpret the cupbearer's dream. And he kind of just, you know, gently reminded him, like, you know, tell the Pharaoh not to forget about me. You know, mention me when you are free. Let's clothe ourselves with patience. Of course, Joseph, he waited over 2 years just to be released. But through that whole time, he still served God with all his heart. And that is the true definition of someone with a pure heart. You know, if we do these things, God and the people around us will see the pure heart that we have. Amen? Amen. That's my message. Thank you.